Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to preach on this thought tonight, the results of the resurrection. The results of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, if you look in this chapter, has got a lot to say about the resurrection of the Lord. And really a question, I guess I could say it from the Corinthians being asked, did he arise? Is he alive? And let me just say, he is. Amen. When you see these first few verses in verse 3 and in verse 4, man, Paul writes out the gospel, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And that's the gospel. But I want you to notice that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is much of the gospel as the death and burial is. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on to say right here, if he did not rise from the dead, then we're still in our sins. Thus be interpreted, we're lost on our way to hell, about to bust the gates of hell wide open. But I like verse 5, boy, Paul, verse 5 and verse 6, Paul starts giving all these proofs that he was alive, that he got up. And I know a lot of y'all know, but I've done a lot of work in the justice system. Let me say this to you. We've put people in prison a lot longer on a lot less witnesses than 500. Somebody say amen. And can I say, it's in my belief that the Lord is probably the most proven thing in history is that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, got up. And friend, listen, it's real. And on that thought tonight, there was some things that we need to understand why we're not in our sin, and then the results of the resurrection. Number one, I want you to see that the resurrection, according to Romans 1 and then verses 1 through 4, it substantiated his claim as deity. Real quick, let me just read verse 4 of Romans 1 and 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Now notice this, by the resurrection from the dead. What the resurrection proved was this, is that he really was who he said he was. He really was God in the flesh. And when John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, when it said the Word became flesh, and you know what he's talking about, and God, the flesh, came. Now you say, preacher, why is that important? And his deity is made manifest that way. Because if he's not God in the flesh, you're still dead in your sins. Amen. I like what Job said in Job 9 over in verse 33. Man, Job, in the middle of the greatest, the hardest days of his life, he said, I wish I had a daysman. Now, if your Bible in Job 9 don't say daysman, you throw it away, come see me, I'll get you a good one. But a daysman, preacher, it is different than a mediator. A mediator just comes in and makes everything sure, everything goes smooth, that everything's all right. That's not what a daysman does, Brother Matt. A daysman comes in and it gets a hold of one party and the other party, and what it does is make sure that this party is satisfied and this party is satisfied. As a matter of fact, in Job 9, he said, I wish I had a daysman that could lay a hand on us, meaning that he could get a hold of God and get a hold of man. Do you understand why it's important to realize that it took God man to die and be buried and rise again? Because only the Lord could get a hold of God, and only the Lord could get a hold of man and reconcile the world back into a God. I'm saying tonight the result of the resurrection is that we know, and by all shadow of doubt, that the Lord Jesus is God in the flesh. We know that, friend. Can I say, you find in verse 14, in John 1, that word, boy, I've hit on it here a lot here lately, but the beloved, not the beloved, but the begotten. Friend, that's a big deal. And I know I hit it last time I was here, but I just want to remind you. That means beloved, that begotten means one of a kind. In other words, they ain't going to be like that no more. Nobody ever was born like he was born. Nobody ever lived like he lived. Hey, nobody ever died like he died. I'm glad he died substitute me. But listen, friend, he was on Calvary. This is what he said. He said, it is finished. And next thing is, look, he's under thy hand. I commit my spirit. Just when he was ready, just when it was all done, hey, Lord, he died by his own will. Ain't nobody ever died like that. But listen, ain't nobody else got up. Hey, the way he got up, by his own power, he got up. I'm talking about the resurrection. This proves who he was. Then can I give you a few more thoughts right here? I'm going to move quickly. It don't substantiate just his deity, but it secures salvation. You say, what do you mean by that? Listen, I done told you in Corinthians, if he didn't rise, we're still in our sin. We got a problem. But boy, there's Hebrews 9. And when you get in the book of Hebrews 9, what you'll find is that, man, there's a better sacrifice and a better offering than the Old Testament. Man, they'll give a type. They say that tabernacle in the wilderness is a type and a picture of a true. You say, what do you mean by that? In other words, there was a mercy seat in that tabernacle. There was a mercy seat. They put the blood on. But in heaven, you know what they are? There's a real live mercy seat that the blood had to go on for the remission of sin. And what he says in Hebrews 9, notice what it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. Now notice that, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You say, what's that got to do with the resurrection? Well, I'm glad you ask. If we just pretend this is my tabernacle, if we have our tabernacle here, it was an outer court of that tabernacle. When you go through the outer court, you know that laver. Inside there's a holy place, and in that holy place there's a veil, and there's that most holy, the holy of holies, and then in that's where that ark of the covenant sat. That's where the cherubims was on. That's where the blood was applied. That's where your sins were forgiven, right there. And what are you saying is that God in this outer court was that brazen altar. Am I all right? Was that brazen altar? And this is where the lamb was sacrificed. This is where the goats was killed. And what happened when the Lord went to Calvary? That was a picture and a type of this brazen an altar, and they would kill those animals and cut their throat and catch all of that blood and then lay those animals in order upon that altar. But listen to me, the blood did not stay at the altar. The great high priest once a year, preacher, he would pick that blood up. He'd make his way over through the holy place in behind the veil, and one time, not without blood, the Bible said, he would enter in and put the blood on the mercy seat. You know what had to happen? When the Lord died, 3 days later he had to get back up, and not with the calf's blood, but he took his own blood and presented himself in front of God the Father, and he put the blood on the mercy seat, and bless God, eternal redemption was made for man right there. Can I say the resurrection secured it, friend? Boy, I got to thinking about that blood covering everything. Inside that ark, man, that was the broken laws there, the covenant. They was the Aaron's rod, but they was the manna. We ain't got time to get all of that. I just want you to see that all that was covered by the mercy seat, and that blood was on the mercy seat. And because of that, you could not see, hey, the faults and the problems. All you saw was the blood. And ain't you glad now that when God the Father looks over, because God the Son got up, he don't see your faults. He don't see your past. He don't see all what you used to be. Oh, but thank God, he looks down through the blood and sees the Lord, friend. Eternal redemption for us. I'm trying to preach quick. Am I all right? I want you to see this. Not just does it secure salvation, but friend, it secures justification. I'm going to slow down right here and just give you a thought. If you go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, matter of fact, we're not far from it. Just flip over to Romans real quick, can we? Is that all right? It's just a book back. Go to chapter 4, then look in verse number 25. I told you topical preaching's good if you do what? Keep it in context, right? So let's look at verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our what? Justification. But now the context of chapter 4 is imputed righteousness. Let me show you in verse number 3. Let's go back and look at that. In verse number 3, look what the Bible says. For what said the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted, that's imputation, unto him for righteousness. Then look at verse number 19. Verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, and he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able to perform. I'm not getting, notice this in verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now here's the big deal. You can't separate justification from imputed righteousness. Those are two doctrines that go together. And imputed righteousness is simple as this right here. I was given the righteousness of God by faith. Just like Abraham, he believed God, never staggered at the promise. He knew Sarah had a dead womb. He knew he was old, but he also knew what God said. Amen? And because God said it, he believed it. And you know how you get saved today? The same way. God said, if you'll believe on me, I'll give you salvation. And that's how you get it. That's how you get imputation. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Now notice what that says. That is important. It is not made the righteous of God. It is made the righteous of God in him. That's a positional issue. And as you look at that, as you study, you'll see that imputation. Now notice what he is saying. It is not this righteousness. And I hope I don't go too far. You rebuke me if I do. But if I read my Bible right, it's what it says. The righteousness of God in him. So what gets imputed on my account, preacher, is this. The righteousness of God. See, that's why it's important that God the Son died. He was God that rose up. And he was God that paid the debt. See, because if it wasn't God, friend, we're still hurting. And if it wasn't God that was made sin, we wouldn't be imputed the righteousness of God. But what does it take to get into the presence of God? The righteousness of God. See, I know it ain't popular a lot of times, but I'm telling you, even in 2024, we're all about the love of the Lord. I'm glad he loved us, amen. But the holiness of God is really the key, the attribute of the Lord. When you look in the heaven of the throne of God, them angels is not circling going, love, love, love. And they're saying, holy, holy, holy. And a holy God cannot have in holy around him or sin around him. You say, well, preacher, you're talking about justification. Yes, I am. Because when I got saved, know what happened to me? I was placed in Christ, and therefore his righteousness was imputed upon mine account. Meaning this, he don't see me as I used to be. He don't see me as a sinner. He don't see me as somebody that got right. Oh, but thank God he sees me as one that's just as perfect as the Lord was, as holy as God was, and because my righteousness is filthy rags. Oh, but his is what I've got. Now, that's the good part. Now, you know what can happen? The judge of all judge because of that resurrection. See, because we're justified by that, now he can look at me and say, holy. I want you to understand, when you look at that word justified, it simply means to declare, pronounce one to be just. Or I like one definition says this, such as he ought to be. Yeah, man. You know what we all ought to be? Right. When Adam was made in the garden, he was made right. Somebody said, man, that's how we ought to be. But now when I stand for him, and I've been imputed the righteousness because I believe, when God looks at me, he don't see again what I used to be. He sees what I am in Christ Jesus. Let me give you this example again. Here's my little rag. It's been placed in my Bible, and I close my Bible up. You can't see the faults of the rag. You can't see the stains on the rag. All you see is this Bible. And then when you look at this, you wouldn't even know about the rag. You wouldn't know about the sin. Oh, but thank God when he looked at me, he can say I'm holy, not because where I am, but because of who I'm in, friend. Can I say, this is what he said to us. He said, in him. I'm going to quit preaching in a minute. Is that all right? Look at here. I want you to see something about justification. It is, we get our ideas through the court system. And I hope I don't kill it right here, but don't. I'm just a redneck, okay? And if you come in my house at night, I'm assuming, Brother Cody, nobody's there to have pee with me, you know? We're not going to eat a donut. You're just breaking in my house to do harm. Now, don't get mad. But I got problems. I got things for that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah, man. Shoot them locked, quick, and often. Somebody say amen. All right? Then I'm going to go to court. Now, this is what might happen. They may not like that I done it. They may take my gun, my rights. They may bond me up and put me in jail for a while. But I'm going to have my day in front of a judge. And when I go in front of a judge, I'm going to plead this. I'm going to plead the law. I'm going to plead that it was justified self-defense. Matter of fact, what it is called is justifiable homicide. I'm not arguing I didn't kill that man. Matter, I did it. Amen. I killed him. I'm arguing that I had the right to do that. And when the judge sees that, he don't say, well, he didn't kill him. He said he has no sin in it because he had the right to do it. And so that's justification. I'm as I ought to be because what the Lord done for me. And when he got up and I'm in him, he don't see any other circumstances, just that I was right. Is that right? I'm talking about the resurrection secures my justification. But I'm going to get a little, well, this right here helped me this morning. The resurrection secures intercession. I want you to know the Lord's not dead. And I want you to know that he don't have a dying ministry anymore. I'll tell you what, he's got an interceding ministry. He's got a praying ministry. And in Romans 8:34, who is that commendeth? Is Christ dead? Yea, rather risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us? Now, ain't that wonderful? He maketh intercession for us. The Lord's praying. I'm going to get back to that just in a minute. But the Lord's praying for us. But I want to really help you right here, what I'm talking about. In Hebrews, in chapter 7, 24 and 25, y'all sung about it. I'm saved to the uttermost. And this is what he says. Wherefore, in verse 25, wherefore being able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Here's what I'm trying to say. The interceding of Christ, that blood on the mercy seat, is what secures your salvation. It's what makes you always say. This is what I'm trying to say. If I come up here and I cut my hand and I bleed on the pulpit, number one, the preacher's probably going to kill me. Don't do that, okay? He likes this thing. I like it too, amen? But here's what happens. If I put blood on that, for a few minutes it's going to be fresh. For a few minutes it'll run. It don't take long. That blood starts clotting up. It starts hardening up. It's going to turn black. And it won't be long after that. You literally, I've done it. You can take a scrape or a little pick and just push that blood. It'll all just come off and fall out. Have a little stain left behind, but you can just push it off. See, that blood of mine is corruptible. Them bloods of bulls and goats was corruptible. In other words, what happened is every year, they would take that bullock or those goats and they would kill them, bring them in on that day of atonement, and they would put them blood on that mercy seat. But they had to do it every year. And the Bible said there's remembrance of sin every year. Remembrance of sin every, remember that, remembrance of sin every year. But he obtained eternal redemption for us. There's no remembrance of sin every year. He's washed it away. And what happens here with intercession is the blood that he placed on the mercy seat, it's still running. It's still as fresh as it ever was. It's never going to go bad. It's never going to dry up. It's never going to clot up. It's never going to mess up out of the way. You say, what's that mean? That just means as long as it's fresh and as long as Jesus is alive, I'm alive. Somebody say amen. As long as he's on the throne, hey, I'm saved. As long as the blood's still pure, friend, I'm saved. Now, Stephen Furtick and that crowd may not want to talk about the blood. I'm pretty excited about it. Is that right? Listen, it's the blood that saved me. It's the blood that keeps me, friend. The blood's how I got in, friend. It's the blood that got it done. And he went in there, friend, that intercessionary work of the Lord, he just keeps us saved. And as long as, honey, as he's alive, we're going to be alive. Let me give you this one, and here we go. It secures access into the holiness. Let me read you a verse out of Hebrews 10. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Now notice this. By the blood of Jesus. You see, I thought you was preaching on the resurrection. Yeah, that's how the blood got there. Right? And I want you to see what that said. Brethren, having boldness. Now, I'm not going to deal with this part of it, but boldness don't mean we walk around with a chest bowed out and we're haughty. It just simply means I can go to him with my heart completely open and have no reservations and tell the Lord what's on my heart. That's boldness. I would talk to him like I talk to my daddy. If my daddy was here tonight, listen, there's nothing I won't tell my daddy. I'm sorry. Again, if you tell me, I'm probably going to tell him. I'm just kidding. But, amen, there's nothing I won't tell him. I don't have any fears how he's going to react because he's my dad and I know he loves me. Is that right? That's what that means. But I want you to notice where we're entering in. Look what that says in Hebrews 10:19, boldness to enter in into the holiest. Well, the Bible tells us that you don't enter into this place without blood. You got to have blood. Matter of fact, tradition tells us that those high priests would put bells on their garments. Because if they didn't do it right, or they messed up, and their heart wasn't right, and they got in there and died, they'd quit hearing them bells, and somebody would drag them out. You didn't go in there without blood, you was going to die too. Because that's a holy place. Is that right? It's holy. You don't go in there without blood. But right there, preacher, it just said I got boldness to get into the holiest. Now think about that just a minute. Once a year, only once a year, did the high priest get in that holy place. Only once. Once a year. But y'all sung about this too, ladies. I talked to him today. You know what happened? I went in the holy place. But I didn't do it, Mater. I didn't do it by my own accord. I went in there by the blood. See, it's the resurrection that made the pathway to get in there. And I don't go without blood. Now, I don't got to carry it, but I'm going to tell you what's in there. Now the high priest is in the holy place. The blood is in the holy place. It's not going nowhere. Every time I need to get in, that's where I'm going. Friend, you need to hear me this a minute, and this will help you. Oftentimes, we get this thought, at least I do. Now, you pray for me. God ain't heard nothing I had said today. I get in a prayer place, I get discouraged. I think, man, God ain't heard that. God ain't listening to nothing I got to say. But now, wait a minute. In that holy place is the high priest. And we just learned, preacher, he's making intercession for us. Then it says in Romans that the Holy Ghost maketh intercession for us. And I'm in there. Now, I know when I got down this morning and prayed, I was at Rowan River. And I was kneeled down there on my knees. And I was in my little recliner. And that's not heaven. But Ephesians said this, he's raised us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't want you to get upset with me, but I just believe I'm in heaven right now. In Christ. Is that all right? Here's my foot, but my soul, my spirit ain't never. I mean, it's as saved as ever going to be. Is that right? And I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in a heavenly place. And when I prayed this morning, now I was there. My wife was cooking breakfast. Somebody say amen for that. And she was cooking. And she'd walk by, and she saw, brother, I was still there when she walked by. But that ain't where I was. In reality, I was in the most holy of holies, in the very throne of grace. And it was just me and God the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I was praying with all boldness, and I was telling what's on my heart. Matter of fact, we got done with breakfast this morning, and I had to go in my office. I had to do a little praying. And I just had to tell God some things that was on my heart, some things I was worried about, some things that aggravate me, to be honest with you. But I got to go in there. You know why? Because the blood's there. See, that's our access in there. And I can walk into the very throne room, preacher, into the very throne room of grace. Now, let me help you just a minute. Many times we worry about what we feel. Now, preacher, if I'm in here in the Holy of Holies, where God is, we agree on that? And then God the Son's at the right hand of God, so there's Jesus, and the Holy Ghost making intercession. How does he not hear me? I'll submit to you right the opposite. Unless you've got sin in your life, he can't hear you. If you've got sin in your life, you ain't going to get in there. Somebody say amen. But once I get that sin out of my life, I do a little 1 John 1:9 and I get right with God. I have every right to be in there because I'm his son. Is that right? Not that I'm not deity, I'm not special, but I'm bought with a price. Amen. I've been redeemed. I've been adopted. I'm no longer an orphan. Amen. I've been placed in Christ Jesus. And when I go in there, friend, there's no way God don't hear me. He's right there. And when I can't pray, and when I can't get it through, and I ain't got the right thoughts, and I don't know what I even pray for, God the Son is right there making intercession. God the Holy Ghost is making intercession. There ain't no way. Ain't no way God ain't hearing me. Why? Because of blood. It's by the blood. Hey, preacher, can I preach one more? I got 3 minutes left. Can I preach one more? you this. I'm done. It secures our resurrection. So listen, I'm going to heaven one day. Now listen, I might die before I get home. I may die before I get off the pulpit. Who knows? I may have a brain aneurysm and flop over. I honestly, me and Miss Megan know a guy about a week ago, week and a half ago, whatever it was, he's our age. He walks into his house and literally just falls over dead. Right? They put him on life support and he ended up passing away last Thursday. So now listen to me. You don't know when you're going to go. But I know I'm coming back out of that here. And if I die before the rapture, look at here. He's coming back and I'm going to heaven. This brings me to my last point. It don't just secure my resurrection, but it secures my hope. You know, Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glory superior of the Lord, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is elementary, bear with me, okay? But if he didn't get up, he can't come back. Is that right? But if he didn't raise from the dead, he can't come back. I mean, then if that's the case, then he over in John 14, he's not going to prepare a place for you where he's a liar. Because if he didn't get up, he can't come back. He can't receive me in himself where he is. I'll be there also. That can't happen. But I got good news. He got up. And then he's coming back. You say, what does that make? Does that excite you a lot? You know why? Because I'm telling you, I am tired of this world. I'm tired of the mess. I'm tired of the government. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of watching families get torn apart. I'm tired of, hey, getting people call me. Preacher, pray. I got cancer. Preacher, pray. My youngest is wearing out. Preacher, pray. Preacher, pray. I don't mind the pride. Tired of it. You know what I'm saying? And looky here. I've got a hope that one day that trumpet's going to sound, a Lord's going to shout, and I'm going to get out of here. And I know that a shadow of a doubt. There ain't one thing the rapture ain't going to fix in my life. I'm gone. I'm talking about I got a hope. Matter of fact, a blessed hope. Can I say this evening? And I'm closing. Matter of fact, preacher, if you'll come on, I'm going to hush. If you don't come on, I might keep preaching. But listen. He's coming back. And I say something to you. Hey, Christian, lift up your head. He's coming back. I mean, I know. I think about their road to on Emmaus. Them, they was walking down that road, and they was all just bummed out. Well, he died and everything. And then Jesus met them right there on the road. And when they broke bread, the Bible said when he broke that bread, their eyes was open. Let me help you just a minute. Boy, there's times I've been breaking this bread, and it gets so real. And I realize, brother, just any day I'm getting out of this place, any day I'm going to go to heaven, and it is all real. Listen to me. If you're lost today and you think that man's crazy, you're probably half right, but this part's something I know. Listen, it is real. It is real. It is real. Hey, and I got heaven awaiting. I don't have to worry about hell. I don't have to worry about cancer no more. Hey, why? Because where I'm going is a lot better than where I'm at. All right, preacher, you come on. I'm on.